Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu unserem Online-Kongress Spirituelles Geldbewusstsein. Hier erfahrt ihr, wie ihr Geld zu einer tragenden und unterstützenden Kraft in eurem Leben macht. Heute bin ich wirklich sehr aufgeregt, weil eine unglaubliche Frau zugesagt hat aus Amerika. Sie spricht heute zu uns direkt aus Florida. Und sie ist eine weltberühmte Expertin für Intuition und Transformation. Sie ist eine Visionärin und hat 11 Bücher geschrieben. Sie hat Tausende von Menschen beraten, darunter Politiker, Wissenschaftler, berühmte Schauspieler und auch Künstler und einfach jeder, der sich dafür interessiert, sein Leben energetisch und spirituell auf ein höheres Niveau zu bringen. Und sie wird heute zu uns sprechen. Ich freue mich so sehr auf Penny Pierce. Very welcome, Penny Pierce.
It's good to be here. Very good to be here.
Thank you. I'm so happy that you agreed to speak to us in this conference. And you are such a very inspiring person. You have mentored so many people, even from like politicians and scientific people. What is it they are interested in when you are mentoring in an intuitive way?
Usually, it starts with something very mundane, like a relationship or money or how to solve a problem in an organization, something like that. And so we can start with that, but I always go right through the surface of things into the core, the causes of things, which is often all about perception. And then I can lay out a way for them to change the way they're thinking or seeing or being with things so that the reality will shift right away. Because most people don't really understand that the inner reality, the non-physical reality, is like an inner blueprint that then causes the outer reality to materialize in a parallel fashion. So it's like I just kind of unknot, the knot and straighten out the thread and then it's like everything kind of realigns and makes sense.
This sounds very interesting. So you take the emotional aggression out of the situation, obviously.
Yes, and the negativity of thinking also.
Very interesting. Would you mind to give us a little example so we can imagine that a little bit more?
Well, it's quite common, I think, especially if we're going to talk about money or success or something like that, that people have childhood experiences, or in my case, my way of thinking, also past life experiences that is carried over into the present time that have to do with some kind of panic or a wounding or fear or, big contraction that made the left brain thought, I better be careful about this from now on because it's going to repeat. And it just holds that pattern unconsciously. And then they have bad luck or things just don't seem to work out, and then they think that's the way life is. So if I can get at that core false belief and show them how it feels to have it another way and how to just dissolve that old one. Things can change very quickly. Very quickly.
That's really amazing. What I hear is that you see it as a frequency issue, right? And
Yes. Well, it's yes, and frequency is related to perception because we can have fear-based perception or love or unity or compassion-based perception where things are connected and it changes the way things work.
it's my experience when I feel some negativity or something that I feel is dragging me emotionally down, that it feels like the energy is getting more dense. It's
It
like
is, just gets
sucking me
dense.
in.
It gets contracted. It's like you're inhaling and never exhaling again.
And you can help people to get this contraction opened.
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. And it looks like everybody trusts you, even politicians. Maybe you have already caused a lot of good decisions
Well,
in the world.
I have not worked with that many people in politics, but lots of people in like the CIA and the FBI and organizations like that as well.
That's
Like
amazing.
with secretive, things that can't be talked about too much.
Yeah. But it's interesting that they appreciate the reality of a frequency and they work with it.
Well, some people do.
Some people do.
I think in lots of big organizations, there are always a few people who are kind of like plants. They're like little seeds in the organization that help stabilize things.
Very interesting. You started the movement of intuition, and we are entering the age of intuition now. I would like to talk about this. What does this mean? We are entering the age of intuition. I like to say we are entering the age of the golden age. So, but I think it's basically the same in terms of frequency. What is happening right now?
Well, I did not start the intuition movement, but I was a very early pioneer, and I wrote a book called The Intuitive Way, which is a course on intuition development that became very, very popular. It's in 30 languages, and it's still selling very well. But that was an early. Yeah, it was the first phase of learning about transformation. And it's still so important to understand how we work with intuition because we're mainly oriented from the left brain, which is about logic and making meanings and having rules and structure. And it's not the boss anymore. Now the right brain is coming in as the connection to higher dimensions and to the soul. And that is the intuitive channel, that brings things direct knowing. And then the left brain can come in and describe it, because intuition is a felt sense. It's a direct knowing. So I think that it has, since I started back, gosh, in the early 70s, there were people have been growing and growing and growing in their interest in self-development, but also in the higher knowing, in greater expanded perception. And that's where intuition comes in. It is the key to expanding perception and understanding how reality works.
This sounds very exciting because we
It
are
is.
interested in this aspect with regards to money, wealth, and richness. How would you relate it to this kind of topic, richness and wealth?
Well, remember that there's a physical three-dimensional reality that we live in as bodies and human beings. And then we have the inner realm of the non-physical part of ourselves, which is the soul. And that part of us is connected to the whole unified field. It has great access to all knowing, all flow and sense of supply. But down here on Earth, in our little bodies, we feel limited and we often feel separate from each other and from the soul. We don't even know we have a soul sometimes. And so there are two ways to think about money. One is from that old kind of human point of view, which is very limited. And money looks like a thing. It's a coin, it's a piece of paper. It's, and it's had different forms throughout time. But if you start to understand that our frequency is starting to increase now, and it has been for, oh gosh, quite a few years, 20, 30 years more even, but it's really accelerated now. That when you start doing that, you start understanding the non-physical part of ourselves, you start feeling, hey, I'm the soul. I'm not just a body and a personality and my beliefs and my de definitions and story. I'm so much more. And I'm connected. I have help. Everything's helping. It's all working. So when you think about money, then it can be a form. Like, I'll get lots of dollars, you know. Or it can be the experience that's inside of money, the experience of the direct knowing of what wealth actually is. It's not a bunch of dollars in a bank or, you know, Bitcoin on a wallet. It is an experience of this access to whatever you need. And the freedom of which it is given to you when you love it. And I don't mean love out of greed or ego. I mean pure communion, heart-based connection. Because what you love will love you. If you love it without greed, you know, without a higher agenda. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I
And
think this
ego always has that sense of the higher agenda. I got to keep myself safe. I've got to be powerful. I need to control. You know, I want to dominate, or I'll be a victim, or I'll dominate by being a victim. You know, it has all these strategies, and those get in the way.
Yeah, it's very interesting because there is this analytical way of richness. So we want to have so much money in the bank account, but it is totally unrelated to our home frequency, as you are saying. It's a wonderful word. I bought your book Frequency years ago, and I'm traveling with it. And recently, I had a friend, I showed her the book, and she needed the book, so I had to give it to
And you
her.
know, they have just come out this year with the 15-year anniversary edition of Frequency, which has a whole new chapter in the back and lots of new material and appendices. So that's the one that should be on Amazon and so forth now.
That is really the book I can recommend because that was an eye-opener for me that we are somehow conditioned to have more, 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 better, better than others, and so on. And we completely forget about who we actually are. And the true richness, as I understand it, is that we find our home frequency and find what is good for us.
And we find through that there is the flow, you know, and the flow to me is the process that all beings are going through together in evolution. Everything is evolving together and helping each other. So the trees are evolving, you know, the animals are evolving, we are evolving, the planet is evolving to higher and higher frequencies. And that is the main thing you come up with when you start working with the energy realms and the consciousness realms. And it's a high frequency dimension or version of this reality. In fact, this reality is materialized out of that. So I call that your inner blueprint. So we have an inner blueprint. It has part love and part fear. The more you get rid of fear in your life and dissolve it and understand why it was there in the first place, the more love flows through. And then you see things differently. Things are interconnected. You don't have to control and fight and hide and dominate. You know, it's safe. And then your whole world shifts into a much easier flow. And then, of course, that affects money. But this is all a process of personal growth, really, that as we open up and go to higher frequencies, it affects our body, raises up in frequency. We feel like we're emitting light. You know, it affects our emotions, which the lower emotions kind of tend to dissolve away. We're not in fear as much. We're not so worried and anxious about, do I have enough? And then the thoughts change. And so you're not feeling negative about things and talking about what I don't have or what can't happen. It's more like, yes, I can, th this can happen. Sure. If I can imagine it, I can put attention on it and I can bring it into form, not through willpower, but through love, through affection
That's
with the thing
very,
you want.
very, very
Yeah.
powerful. Not
It
through
is very
power, but through
powerful
love.
and very sweet, very loving.
Yes. This is
Yeah.
very amazing because you mentioned the word safety. Yeah, we are safe when we are in this space of love.
Yeah.
We have this safety. And when you ask deeper why people want so much money, because they want safety, right? That's a
Right.
very key.
Or power, which is safety.
Interesting. So power, you mean external power, which is perceived as safety.
Yeah, so that's the ego's way of thinking, I'm safe now. I have power over. I can dominate the out I can control the outside world. Because here's the problem is we look like we're separate from the world. I end here my skin. But no, we don't. We're on the inner world, in the energy world, we're a big ball. And that ball can expand and contract and like your mandala behind you. And it can encompass more and more and more of the totality of the universe. So if you can relax and open up and raise your frequency, the ball gets big. And you start to know more of what's possible in the present moment. The ball is the present moment. So everything you need is in there with you now. So if you want to materialize it, you put your attention on it now and say, hi, let's be together.
Yeah, I noticed. I mean, Eckhart Tolle is also talking about this a lot. The more you go into the present moment and give your attention to the present moment, the more all these fears and needs and this, it all disappears. But
They
because
do
it's
because they're in
moment.
the past projected into the future. And we're not linear anymore.
Yes.
We're all in the present moment and it's spherical, just like your mandala. And we are mandalas, really. We are big balls of totality. But we move in and out all day long and all night long in our dream world, too. But like I could focus on, my making notes here. I would come down and focus tightly into a physical realm. And then I could sit back and I space out and I go out and I access new ideas. I recenter, I remember things. And then I kind of come back and I've got new ideas or new energy. We do this all day long. And that's what meditation's for. It's like I'm in my normal daily consciousness, but let me get quiet and expand my ball. And remember things and reset my system.
Yeah, it almost sounds to me like the moment that you are in the past, future, horizontal timeline, all these fears and all this reasoning is coming up. But when you are horizontal in the moment, all the inspiration is coming through.
When you go horizontal, you become spherical. Yeah. And then there's no more beginning, middle, end. It's all there at once. All your past is there, and you can look at it, but you don't have to bring it into your, core here and live it again or hold it. So because it's all available. And so when you go into the past or future, which is worrying about money or reciting the history of your childhood or your family and how they either had money or didn't have money, and so that's how you should be. You cut off the money flow. So we don't really have money. We have money flow. It's a thing. And it is your willingness to let money flow in, use it and have fun with it, play with it, and let it go back out to go to someone else. Because it needs to feel the flow or it doesn't feel alive.
Wow, that's
Yeah.
interesting. It's
It's
like
very
electricity, which.
important because we want to lock it down and then it's unhappy.
Ken Honda, happy money. He
Yeah,
always talks
that's
about
right.
the
Ken
happy
Honda,
money,
yeah.
right?
That's right. That's right. And because part of my philosophy, I guess, or sensitivity is that money's inner life, it has a non-physical energy and consciousness self, just like we do, just like a tree does. Every object, everything is alive. It has an inner reality of energy and consciousness that is forming the form, that is causing the form to show up. So I go into the inner form of money, the energy and consciousness part of it. I see that it's alive. I say, I love you. You're so beautiful. Look at what you are. And really, what it is an expression of love. It came into being because love was needed on the planet to connect the early humans that felt so separate and tribal and defensive with each other through exchange, through barter, maybe at first, and then it evolves. And coins and dollar bills and all that didn't come until much later. But there were always forms of this thing that we now call money, and always based on the need to help people feel connected to each other and trust each other. And that's what it's supposed to do. That's what it wants to do. It wants to help you. And when you feel loving and you know it, it acknowledges you. And if you say, I would really like, I need to get an upgraded computer, this will help me in my work. And it's fine. You can go and find a way to make the money for that to happen. It'll come easily, or you'll get some windfall, or you'll suddenly something will happen that you will be able to either have the money for it, or opportunities for it, or some kind of other resource will come. It's all the same. That the inflow comes to you from the generosity of the non-physical realm. If we just remember that all spirit is highly generous, it doesn't know the word no. But if you're saying the word no, like I've never had money, I can't have it, I don't understand it, I don't want to deal with it, it m mirrors you. It says the same thing. Says, okay, no, she doesn't want it. We'll stay away.
Yeah, the problem is, I think so many people who listen to you, they say, you are so right. That's exactly how I feel. And that's what I wished to live. The energy I wish would run through me, but it's not happening because they have these negative programs. They are so deep in the subconscious. What can they do to liberate themselves and let the energy flow through more easily, even in the subconscious? The problem is how to reach the subconscious.
Well, the subconscious is coming up whether we like it or not right now because of the acceleration of energy on the planet is making everything rise up in frequency. And that means the subconscious mind also, which means that it's kind of like Pandora's box now. Everything that used to be suppressed that you did not want to have to feel again is
Yes.
now coming up into the conscious mind. And we're noticing it again, or we're having a repeat of an old pattern right in front of us. Why is this happening again? And then we take it as a negative and say, oh, let's push it back down. But it won't stay down. So it comes back up again. And if you're in old thinking, you just keep reinforcing that as a negative truth about life. But if you're open and you're growing, you'll say, oh, why am I seeing that? Oh, it's an old thing. It's not true anymore. And I'm going to like let it vaporize or dissolve back into the field. I don't have to hold that and holding, literally hold it into my life as part of my story and meaning. Just let it go. Now you have open space. What comes in? More of the spirit world, more of the soul, more understanding of how flow works. You can't make yourself know it. You have to open up and let go and be. And then the knowledge starts to show up in you. It just starts to surface.
How can we get to into that state where we can let go, evaporate is a beautiful word.
Stop talking is the way, because the left brain is all about, I didn't mean you, but it's the left brain is all about language. And we're talking to ourselves in our head all the time during the day and out loud and on the phone and texting. It's just we're like addicted to this kind of left brain activity. So get quiet, stop the internal dialogue. Silence. And oh yeah, the left brain is like, I can't do that for, well, do it again. Pause and then extend the silence out and be really quiet, really quiet. And it's very restful. It helps reset who you are. Remember, you are a soul. Now you get into your home frequency, which is your preferred state of the way you love to feel. All right. And if your big worries are about safety, money, whatever, then you can introduce that into this clear space and then feel into money. Go into its non-physical self and start to have a relationship right there with it, like you would with a dog or a cat. You don't just look at the outside of an animal. You feel when they're your pet or companion, you know what they're thinking. You can feel them when they don't feel good. This is the same thing with money.
Yeah, we could ask our money, are you happy with me? Are you happy with the way I'm treating you? I'm using you. I'm
Yes.
making you come into my life. We could ask these questions.
Right. Yes.
And I have noticed that people, the relationship they have to money or resources as such is very, very intimately connected to the relationship they have to themselves. Isn't that have do you have anything to explain about this?
Well, I don't know that it's a relationship to the self itself, but it has to do with the amount of old programming and old, I call it old human thinking now, because there's a new human thinking, new human perception showing up for us now more and more and more. But when you are very attached to or holding the old beliefs as true or as who you are, and those are your identity, it stops the flow. That's all. It
So
stops the flow.
am I hearing that you are saying that actually we don't really need a relationship to ourselves? We just find our home frequency. Is
That's
this what
right.
you're
And
saying?
that is this. You don't need a relationship to it because you are it. You
Oh.
need to feel yourself and be yourself and express it as it wants to express. Without the mind saying, well, it has to feel this way and look this way, and you can't do this, and you have to make it like this. No, we just be in the moment and be interested in what comes. And the things that are like on purpose for us come again and again and again. They're always interesting. And then being creative with it, and then you go deeper and you get more part of it, and it gets really interesting. And when you're done with it, you get bored. And then something new shows up. That's the flow bringing you what you need. And along the way, it brings money to help these things happen.
But I think many people don't dare to live that way. They think I need to do my 9 to 5 job or else.
Well, it's a matter of education, really, of learning that you don't have to do that. But you can work your way out of it, not like right away, but start thinking differently. Start trying something else on the side that might bring in something that you love doing, or And it's like a, I always think of it like a boat that's going through a lock, like the Panama Canal. It goes in at one side and then it sits there and the water goes up and then it goes across and then it goes to another level. And finally, it comes out the other side at the new level. That's what we're doing too. We're getting a little education. Now we function here, we get a little better. And then once we relax, we go to the next level and another level. And now you're getting it, you know. But we have this urgency. Everything has to be so, but if you relax, it actually is faster than if you try to use willpower.
Yeah, I can sense it comes down to trusting. We need the trust. We need this ultimate trust to allow things to happen they are meant to be.
Yes, I call it radical trust because it's trust in everything. Yourself, the way things work for you, the way things are working in the world, in other people, in the way events happen around you. Because I don't really feel anything's negative so much anymore as it is surfacing because it's a last remnant of something you're trying to let go of, that you need to see it and go, ah, why did that snag happen to me? Like I had. My credit card was compromised three times in like a month or month and a half. And they put a freeze on it and I couldn't use it. And I think, and then they got me a new credit card and then that got compromised. And I'm like, what is going on? And I, at first I was really frustrated and upset. And then a friend of mine said, well, I see you're really letting go of your identity, aren't you? And I, that is right. That is the way it is. And then I could see, fine. Okay, now it's fine. I don't have any more this issue. But it was for my own growth.
This is amazing. To even let go of the identity with the credit card.
Right. Yeah. Like I don't have to, you know, have to be so much of Penny Pierce, you know, this blah, blah, blah. I'm more like a white hole with stuff coming through. In the moment. And it's always just right. Not right or wrong, but just right, perfect, appropriate.
Yeah, because I think you don't even need identification. The moment we identify with something, already our energy gets kind of dense and sucked in with some idea
Right.
of, is that right?
Right. And it literally it stops the flow. So we're talking in general terms, but if we want to bring it back down to money, remember we have money flow, not money. And that brings up the whole idea of gratitude and generosity, because we need to be able to have wonderful gratitude for what has been given to us, what we've asked for and received, and just feel like it overjoyed. Not guilty because, oh, I need to pay people back. I have to make up for this. No, just love and the fact that it was so generously given to you because that denies the giver their wonderful experience when you don't receive properly. So receive and then have the feeling of like, I love helping other people. I love, I'll pay my bills joyfully. Because I have water this month to use in my house, you know, or heat or air conditioning.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody, for setting all this up for me. And then I'm happy to pay you. I'm happy to give money to charities and whatever it is. People are worthy of their hire. So that is the money flow. And when I started thinking about gratitude and generosity, I felt them coming together. Like a unit, that they are states of being that are very, very pure, and they allow the soul to come through. When you're really doing it in a true way, you are the soul because there's an abundance of everything. Why not just have it flow? Receive it. Ah, oh, lovely. I have this for this moment and I'm going to use it in this present moment and I'm going to you know appreciate it and I'm going to give back and let it flow on. The idea of the inner money, I'm not holding that. I'm letting that flow on, and I'm going to use the money for something and give it to the people who need it, you know?
Yeah. What you say the word appreciate. What we appreciate, appreciates.
Yes. Yeah. And it really completes, you know, when people are generous and someone is not, doesn't recognize it, it's painful. You don't want to cause pain to others.
Yeah, there is
Yeah.
so much pain inflicted through money. Money is such a pain issue.
It is.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
It is. I wanted to read you something that I wrote all the way back in 2008,
Yes.
because I was thinking about how when I thought about paying bills or whatever, that I would contract and feel frugal, you know, or kind of cheap about things. And so I did some direct writing, and it says, don't contract around thoughts of money. Expand instead and say and feel. The money is flowing everywhere in the world in spite of what the news says. And I include myself in that flow. I open myself to be a receiver and giver of the money flow. I call the money flow over here to flow through me, for me and for others. Money goes where it's called and where I send it when I love it. And so I saw that I'd excluded myself from the money flow by contracting every time I thought about money, losing it, spending it, making it, giving it. I saw that contracting was both the feeling of freezing up and of avoiding and preferring blankness and distraction. Now I'm experimenting with relaxing when I think of money. I don't have money really. I have money flow. It's an experience of one of many kinds of fluidity in my life. I feel how money flow is part of divine love. And it's flowing in my life. It's a love experience. And so that I forgot that I wrote this whole, it's a long pay thing. And then, you know, some a few years back, I got this whack on the side of the head that says, you need to write a book on, about money and transformation. And I'm like, I don't know anything about money. And they said, you are going to write this book. And it all started to come in, all this insight about it. So
Yeah.
it's not published yet, but we're almost there.
This is amazing. So it seems to be in the air, this topic to give money the credit that it deserves, the appreciation, and
Yes.
money flow is divine love. I mean, money flow is resourceful. Immediately, we are resourceful. We are in the present moment. We are grateful. We are in grace. It all comes together all of a sudden.
Yes. And I'm not sure how much time we have left. Are we okay for another thing?
Yeah, sure.
And
Absolutely. Yeah.
this is part of one of my chapters about starting money flow, freeing money flow. And there are a couple things. One, it's you start with being in the present moment and the experience of humility. Of just being with what the way it is right now, whether your bank account is low or high, or what you need or have, with no opinions. It's a resting place at an open mind. It's beginner's mind, you know. And then notice that your current situation is what you need right now. And that's really important that you have it because you're trying to understand something. Whether it's pro or con, either way. So that's the first thing. And then notice what money and resources come in and what you send out again. And then notice how you think about what you have. What is enough? Now, most people think about enough as like not very good. You know, like I want more than enough. But what are you going to do with more than enough? You don't, you know, you need to expand to use more than enough, and then it's enough. Do you know what I mean? So always enough is a very high state. And depending on how creative you want to be, the enough reality will expand and contract with you. You don't have to have more and more and more and be a hoarder. But think about what you have and why you have it like that. And the next thing I wrote is watch your self-talk and the speech of others. Start noticing what you say about what you have, or if something, oh, that's too expensive, or I'm just going to pay for that anyway, even though it's overpriced. Maybe it's an ego buy, or something. But and then notice what other people are saying a lot, because you don't have to agree with all the negative speech. And then what's old and what's boring about the way you deal with money? What are other people's ideas that you don't really believe in? So you can change that. And then, do you avoid change, and do you distrust imagination? Because in order to expand your money realm, you need to be open for expansion. Or you may not need a lot of money. Like if you're going to be a monk, you can have a begging bowl and go around, or you can have, get grants from nonprofit organizations. But imagination is a key thing for working with money. It will help you get what you imagine. So those are a few things that I think are important.
Yeah, interesting. You say we expand. We have to be able to visualize our expansion, and I think it's in the nature of any living being to grow in one way or another. And I think we tend to mix it up with needing more than enough, and we mix it up with the idea of growth, personal growth.
Right. Well, we're evolving. I remember, think about it as growth, but expansion. We're evolving in nature into our spiritual selves, which are unlimited. That's why I think the future of money is it may disappear at some point. We may not need it. If we all come into a kind of a higher consciousness, a new human, the new human, the new earth, the new, realities that are based on the soul, soul to soul to soul to soul. And what do I need? I need help from you. Oh, that's what I love to do. Let me help you, because that would be fun. More, it's not even barter so much, it's just gift giving constantly.
Yeah, this is giving because it is fun, because we like it, because we are full of ourselves first. We don't give and deny ourselves by giving, because first we are full of ourselves, and then there is the overflow, and it is easy and joyful to help other people.
And not guilty, because now I have to pay them back. True giving does not need a response like that. It needs to feel the joy. It wants to feel the joy of the receiving. And then it's, oh, that's perfect.
Fantastic. Thank you. I feel the joy of receiving your wisdom. Thank you so much. You are saying so much in such a short time. It is eye-opening what you are saying and how you look at things. I'm so grateful because I learned so much in these last 30 minutes. It's
Oh,
amazing.
I'm glad. I'm so glad. Yeah, I'm happy to participate.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.